might ask you a question from Romans 8:28. And the reading I'm speaking from Romans 8:28. You sit here today, and are you telling me, very important, that God has spoken to you about being in the fivefold ministry of gift? Have God called you? Did you hear God's voice, or you had a feeling, or somebody prophesied over you, or you got an idea you're supposed to be in the ministry? It's very dangerous. Do you have a genuine call? I had a genuine call. I heard the audible voice of God told me, I'm calling you to preach the gospel, to walk in my ministry. If you do not have that genuine call, if you just think that you're supposed to be in ministry or somebody else told you you're supposed to be in ministry, you're going to suffer. You're not going to prevail. God, in the fivefold ministry gift, God called each individual separately. If you don't have that call, wait for it. Don't try to go out in ministry without it. My ministry is so successful because I got the calling and I followed the calling. I heard a man say, this great minister told him, he was so-and-so. Another minister told him he was so-and-so. Another minister told him he was so-and-so. I had a lot of ministers told me things, but I was already called. But he never said he was called. Ephesians 4:11 is a calling ministry. You do not get happy or get some idea and step in this. This is too dangerous for that. In Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for good for them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So it's very important that you, if I'm your pastor, and if you think that you're an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, evangelist, a pastor, that's the only fivefold ministry gift. Now, you might be have a calling. We all have the calling to go minister to people and preach the gospel. We're all supposed to preach the kingdom of God, you understand? But the calling, the fivefold ministry gift, you have to be called by God. Just pray about that and make sure. Because if I was to ask you this morning, when were you called and what did he say to you? What did God say to you? What did he tell you to do? What did he call you to do? See, a lot of time, and, you know, I've been need to deal with this in this church because I want people to know that I would never, no way, no how hold you back from doing what God have called you to do. But if he called you, he's the one going to open the door. Please don't open no door yourself and put it on God. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer in ministry, you're going to suffer financially, you're going to struggle, and you're never going to be in success. That's why you got so many ministers struggling now, because they're really not called to the fivefold ministry gift. They were called to assist. Now, how many of you all have attended the school of ministry here? All right, put your hand out. How many have not attended? Okay, you can't have no calling yet without going to school. You got to be trained. All right. How many of you all, a member of this church, how many of y'all was at prayer meeting Thursday night? The rest of y'all ain't called. Put your hand up. See, because what you do is you're real hungry, you're real thirsty, and you want to do everything according to God's will. You know, a lot of people don't know about my ministry. I had a nursery ministry. I had a prison ministry. I had a side the road ministry. I did all kinds of things. I taught Sunday school for many years. I did everything my pastor wanted done. He better not stop. I'd kick him on the heel. I was right behind him. Okay? So you placing the church approved. When I call a prayer meeting or a special meeting, you say you got a call and you ain't coming? I don't believe you. See, you're not hungry enough for me. You're not hungry enough. See, to operate in a calling, you got to be hungry and thirsty. And you got to assist the person over you so much that they can't get rid of you. You're with them. When they call to do something, you say, I'll be there. I'll be there. Nobody else show up. I'll be there. And I'm not trying to put no marker on your back. I'm trying to take the marker off your back. Okay. How sincere you are. You cannot. Elijah and Elisha. Who was it? What a good name. Ruth? Who rules the father? Naomi? She couldn't shake her, could you? See, if you, and as successful as my ministry is, you ought to want to know when I spit. So when I call those special prayer meeting, like on Thursday, we're praying for men now. I want to get the men around them because I want men intercessors. I want men to lead intercessor prayer sometimes. We need to get these men to be leaders. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to condemn you, but I must correct you. You can't walk around sitting and don't, and please, don't go try to start nothing without being conformed. I got a man I'm looking for not up in here. He's supposed to be up in here because I heard he's trying to may need to go start a ministry or something. He's not even here. He was here this morning. He's not even in here. So I know what that means. See, now I'll help you as much as I can if you really have a genuine calling on your life. And I'm not to decide that. I can't decide that. But you need to know it. This is a dangerous position without the voice of God. Without the voice, you got to have the voice of God. And then, with my experience, and I can talk about my experience. If God calls you, he going to fix a place for you to minister. Okay? Don't try to open that door yourself. I saw somebody showed it to me. 4 or 5 of them girls left this church. They didn't leave right. And they're out there talking about their prophetess. And they ain't no prophet. They ain't got it. I know they ain't got it. And they're just, all they're doing is endangering their family. And so, in this ministry, you say, man, I'm not going to ever get a chance to preach. Just serve. Serve. When God opened the door, he going to open the door. God, I can't keep no door closed on you. You see what I'm saying? God going to open the door for you. I mean, if anybody with insufficiency and inadequacies and infirmities like I had, and God opened all the doors he opened for me. You know, I preach in Madison Square Garden. I'm talking about God now. And different places. I preach in every church, almost every state. I've been preaching with some of the greatest ministers in the world. But it's God. God got to open that door. You see what I'm saying? So, school of ministry, make sure that you have heard the voice of God yourself about a calling. The fivefold ministry gift is dangerous if you're not called into it. Because demons and devils, everybody else try to get on you. The anointing of that calling is the one to protect you, all right? If you ever have any question you want to ask me, I'm here, I'm available. I'm not untouchable, but I just ain't gonna mess around. I ain't got time to be messing around. You know, I don't need no little quiz question. I need a real question if you got a question. If you sense that God is telling you to do something, if God is telling you to do something, guess what? He's going to provide for you to do it. I think too many people try to do ministry from handouts. You can't do it because you can't really, you got to watch what you say. You don't want to hurt nobody's feeling. Like the Holy Ghost moving in the morning, you know. So, well, I don't want to hold them too long. No, I ain't thinking about that. Because I'm following the Holy Ghost because God supplies all my needs. Are you following me? So don't feel like you're left out because you're here and because it seems like you're not going to ever get a chance to do anything. You got a lot of chances. Help. H-E-L-P. My pastor, like I say again, my pastor couldn't move. And they, some of them guys look around. I jump on it. I stayed with it for years. Mount Zion, the church, I was sent to by my pastor to a funeral. I'd never been to Darrow. He couldn't make it, so he sent me. I went there, and so... matter of fact, the granddaughter of the pastor of that church is in here in my memory, been many years. And the daughter of my pastor been here many years. Well, I went to the church. I didn't know where I was. I was in Darrow. I ain't never been to Darrow. I'd been in the street, but Darrow wasn't no street place, so I ain't been down there. And I went in the church, and the lady heard me say words of comfort, and she asked me, would I come preach for them? I said, y'all got a pastor, I'm going to come preach for y'all. The pastor got to send for me. I'm not coming here. And a few weeks later, the pastor sent for me. And I preached. He got up and said, if this young man, you'll take the church, I'll resign. Isn't that something? And so now I got to call my pastor. I said, Rep, they want me to take this church down here. What to do? He said, take it. So now the church ain't got many members. 13, 20 members, something like that. But that's where he put me. You know? Everything now, listen to me. Everything God has said to me has come to pass in my life. Amen. I never struggled in ministry. Never struggled. And that's what I want to happen for you with a genuine call. You can't, see, you can't make this happen. Amen, sir. See, I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere here in Darrow. How you got down here? You here. Look, God drawed you here. And so be real prayerful. Now, I tried to push right out one time. First, I ain't ready yet. Man, right there. He said, I ain't ready yet. Yeah, in essence, he had to tell me the words. He just ain't paying no attention. He just coming back to sit down. Because you don't want to go out there like that. You follow me? Any question? Any question? Yes. Question.
This school.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Because I can't speak for no other school.
Exactly. So what I would like to say, and you know, I know you're going to correct me.
Yeah, I'm going to correct you.
Okay, cool. I know that I have been to the school of ministry before coming here.
What school of ministry you went to?
Greater St. Stephen's.
They don't know what I know.
Okay.
They because let me tell you, no, let me.
Yeah.
They don't know it. They're good people, but we're talking about apostolic anointing now. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And some stuff got to be jerked out of you.
Yes, amen.
Some stuff got to be put in you.
Go ahead and finish now. Oh, since I've been here, okay, that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm here.
What's your first name?
My name is Brenda. I've been
Brenda. I know. That's okay. I got thousands of people. Just give me your name. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brenda. Come on.
So when I go to Woodland, Texas, and if I do.
What you going to Woodland for?
Because, like I shared, well, I know you got so much going on. My daughter is moving to Woodland, Texas. My husband passed in 2020, and
I think you sent that message to me, didn't you?
No, I came to you, and.
Oh Lord, yeah, baby, don't trust me with all that.
I did call, and someone told me about. church in Woodland, Texas. So what I'm asking you is, because I am a part of the five-fold ministry, okay?
What are you? What you calling it?
Teacher.
You're teaching. All right.
Okay.
You're called.
Oh, I'm called.
Tell me about your calling.
My calling is that, what did you mean tell you about?
How you were called.
God called me in 2000.
What did he say?
He said, I want you to go and be a witness of the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the kingdom. I was a witness. A witness, yeah.
Preaching and gospel of the kingdom.
Right. I want you to be a part of my apostolic government.
Okay. Well, he ain't told you that.
No, he didn't say apostolic government, but he said, I want you to be a part of my government. Now, I learned being apostolic government from you. I learned that from you.
What did he say to you when he called you?
He said, I want you to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom.
He told you he wants you to go and preach the gospel.
Yes, and I joined the school of ministry. And again, I questioned that. And
I want y'all to hear, because that's why I'm talking so here.
And I was told, the signs have to be there. We can't tell you that you're called. You know, those signs have to be there.
Right.
Okay? And so all is well, Pastor. The only thing that I'm trying to...
What's your question about Texas now?
Huh?
Your question about Texas. You get a question?
Well, so I'm going to Woodland, Texas, okay? And I do intend to stay connected to you. Okay, so what you're saying is that when I go to that church, because I'm already a part of the five-fold ministry, that I have to go to that school of ministry as well. Because the same thing was told to me when I was in Dallas, Texas, at the Potter's House with Bishop T.D. Jakes. Well, I did enroll in that school of ministry, then we ended up coming back home.
The church you're going to got a school of ministry? Every church don't have a school of ministry.
Well, I don't know, but I know the Potter's House does at Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And they say, come and go to the school of ministry, okay? And this was in 2007. So I'm just asking you.
What you asking me?
As my apostle. So everywhere I go and where God brings me, are you telling me that I join church? If he sends me there, I know I'm connected to you. I know I am. And I know.
You never been to the school of ministry yet? You heard what I said.
No, what you said? Come on, tell me.
You never been to school of ministry here?
Not here.
All right, you got to go to school of ministry if you're going to be represented, stay connected with this ministry. You got to go to school of ministry here. And you can do it online.
Wait, okay. You can do it online, but I'm just asking. So
yeah, that's the answer. In order to say that you come out of this ministry and that you called to preach and use my name, you got to go into the school of ministry here.
I mean, you are my apostle. I love you. Yeah. So I'm just trying to understand exactly what you're saying.
If you don't understand what I'm saying, you're not connected. If you don't understand what I'm saying.
But what am I using your name for?
You say I'm from Word of Life Christian Center. I was trained at Word of Life Christian Center.
I have to say that because I have been a member here since 2009. Well, I'm just trying to get an understanding, okay? So it is what it is. I'm trying to get an understanding from you. I'm not trying to be offensive or disrespectful.
Huh? Yeah, you may.
I'm great. I came here in 2003, and I love my apostle.
Yeah. Well, you talking about me?
Yes.
You grieve.
I'm grieved from what I'm hearing, almost to tears, because I hear a lack of humility towards my apostle. I hear what I hear in my spirit is bringing me almost to tears, because I know his heart, and I expect anybody that addresses my pastor to address him in a certain way, to have a certain tone, to have a certain amount of respect. I'm just telling you what's coming out of my heart. He has set aside and made many sacrifices for us. He has even separated from his family to impart into us as leaders to hear him. And my spirit just was grieved.
I understand. Any more questions? Any more statements that need to be made? Well, you know, it's not going to happen every day.
No.
But the Lord just told... Yes, sir.
I appreciate you taking
yeah.
the time out.
Yes, sir. Remember, I'm never against you. I'm for the ministry. I'm for God's work. I'm for God's people. Now, all of us are called to preach the gospel, to be a witness. But I'm talking about specific calling now. I'm talking about specific calling. Make sure you ought to have it documented. If God called you, it's so important. The date he called you, you ought to have all that documented. That's the most important time in your life besides being born. You know what I'm saying? And I understand. You see, let me close with this. You have no idea how much time I spend. You have no idea. Yes, sir?
Real quick, for those that are online members, how can we do anything to help? Because I live a lot in Texas.
Yes. Every chance you get.
Yeah.
Yes. And so you're saying how online members can help in what aspect? The ministry?
Anyway.
We'll get back with you. Yeah, because I got to sit an online member. I got to work some things out.
Right.
I think it's going over 500 or 600 now. And it's going to grow. So I got to, y'all here on the screen, and I asked to come visit sometime. I ask you to take the school of ministry and make sure you take that. So you'll be hearing something. Yeah, it's a good question. Anybody else want to say anything? So I'm not scared of what you're going to say, you know.
I just want to say, the message this morning is kind of confirmed in me calling that God has placed on my life years ago. My soul, I don't mean teaching me about my soul, how my soul has to line up to my spirit, man. My calling is in my spirit, man. But that soul causes fear, because then you go to try to rationalize in your mind how you're supposed to be within your own intellect. But why are you teaching me this morning about calling my soul back in alignment? Because sometimes we move by feeling, we move by our intellect, what we think ought to happen, instead of hearing what God, because a lot of times God tells me something, that don't make sense.
Yeah, that don't make sense.
Lord, you sure? So I guess my question is.
Then your soul gets scared and no one won't do it.
Right.
Yeah. Then you can't be a people pleaser.
Amen.
If you're gonna preach the gospel,
right.
you can't be going what make them feel good.
Right.
And then what would make them feel good, and if it's possible, make God feel bad because you didn't follow His order.
Right. So this morning, Pastor, so I didn't say just
praise God.
Praise.
Right. Just take your time. Look at me. Take your time. All right, Joyce, go ahead. Exactly right. And you see, it's not happening everywhere. The apostolic ministry, Apostle Paul said, I'm first a servant, then I'm an apostle. And it may seem awkward the way I function sometimes, but it's a pioneering, pathfinding, pace-setting anointing. And I believe when, like Joy said, when a person goes to the school of ministry, that apostolic mantle is set on them.
Amen.
Not that they have to be an apostle, but they got that mantle on them, and they have an understanding of, as my little sister said, they have respect and be reverent in every facet of contact with an apostle, because you can curse yourself It's so powerful. I mean, it's so powerful, it's frightening. It's not about power, it's not about me, but their calling and the dedication I've given to it over the years. That was something, something the Lord talked to me about this morning. But I can't bring it up. He might not want me to bring it up. About ministry. You don't want me to bring it up. Somebody else? Yeah, I saw your hand.
I shared it. For me, God sent me to you to assist you. And if God has something else he's going to do with me, it's going to be through serving you. And I think a lot of times people get to the point where they think, God called me to preach, and I got to go out and preach. Well, if you're not a part of God's will and following his agenda, what are you out there for?
What are you out there for, right?
And that's what happens. A lot of people get so motivated by wanting to go out there and preach the gospel. But if God didn't send you, what do you do?
He's not responsible.
He's not
responsible. See, my objective was, when I was called, was to sit and serve. Amen. And I did it.
The will of God.
And somebody would, every now and then somebody would pull my coattail and say, man, you really can preach. I said, that's my pastor.
That's right. Yes, sir.
See, I'm not playing them games.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So I think the reason the Lord had me to call this meeting is that we can have a right relationship and to know that don't jump out and just try to start nothing without talking to your man of God. Not trying to control you, I'm trying to protect you. You know, because you can go out there and do what you want to, but I'm trying to protect you because this is if God send you, he's going to have to provide for you. Right? And so that's so important. It's not to frighten you, but it is to frighten you. Because I've seen so many go out there talking about ministry. God ain't sent them out there. And they fear. Some of them dead. Because they went out there on their own. They just thought they can do it. You know, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You know, so I love you. But faithfulness and respect and honor, what we're teaching the school of ministry. Now, the school of ministry is not the only school of ministry of this nature, but in this area, we never had it. Never had the apostolic. And strongly, the Lord has shown me many of them who say they are apostles, they don't qualify. They don't have the proof, they don't have the evidence, etc. So just I know the danger that have been out there in ministry, how people go to church and they sit and say they're a prophetess. How you a prophetess and you ain't never done nothing proper in the spirit? You never submitted. The first lesson is submission.
Amen.
If you can't submit, you ain't no prophet, you ain't no prophet. You know what I'm saying? Submission come first. And I think Joyce quoted well what she give from her point of view, what she received, understanding the apostolic, understanding that the other four ministry gifts cannot function properly, even the prophet. Now, God called me to be both. I said, he called me to be an apostle. And I said, I was in an RV when he called me to be an apostle. I'm on the 13, 12, I don't know what floor, in a hotel in, I was in Baltimore. I'm still looking at the window. I call you to be a prophet. I said, geez, I didn't know you could be an apostle and a prophet. And I know for this ministry, I wasn't the first one God called. But he's looking for somebody who will obey him and do what he said to do, he said. So I have tons of success because I follow the protocol, and I want you to have the same thing. You've got to follow the protocol. You got to, you go ahead. Yes, sir. The lottery, yeah.
I believe that if someone thinks that they have a calling to go somewhere, it should be agreed with you.
Exactly.
You don't hear from God. Amen. And they say they heard from God. I think it's not all of God. You know, because I believe like in any, like for example, in a natural, in a business, you don't tell the worker without telling the supervisor. So if God wants you to go somewhere and decide that you're supposed to go out, you need to confirm with the pastor.
And that's what happened. They don't want to ask because they know I'm going to give them the answer. So they don't want to ask me. So they some of them come tell me. I had a lady to come told me, say, the Lord done told me to go in a woman ministry, and I'm going, I'm leaving, and I'm going out. I said, okay. She ain't asked me nothing. That happened about 3 or 4 months ago, a little long. She ain't asked me nothing. So, I mean, you know, God overruled me. I know he left without a covering. She left without a covering, and I know God didn't tell her that. Because if God had told her that, he told me. So, I mean, that's, and I'm going to say something. I'm going to cuss. All them little jackass ministries you see out there, that's where they come from. Jackasses. They think they know everything. And they're not following the divine call of God and the way God said do it. And so they're not going to ever be nothing. They're not going to ever have no success. And that's what I don't want to happen to you. I love you. I know you got a lot of word in you. And let that word talk to you. Take your time. Take your time. This is no rush deal. I know God called a whole lot of people, but make sure he called you. And take your time. And in the school of ministry, if you believe you got a call, them boys going to dig it out of you. Before you leave out of school of ministry, what, it's 2 years? You say, I ain't called. Hallelujah. Thank God for the school. I ain't called. You know, so I think I've heard some good things in here. Just tighten your rope a little bit. I don't want you to be condemned, but serve. You know, when I look up, I should see you. Amen. Amen. And then if God got something for you to do, I have no problem. Because he'll confirm it in my spirit. What he say? I mean, he said it well. And he said it well, no covering. That's a pastor. You're no covering. You leave without covering. And you don't want to do that. And you know, over the years, I didn't know over the years, how God wanted me to address this. I know it needed to be addressed. And this morning he spoke to me and said, call them all who are under you and see what they're believing in their life, what they're planning to do. Now, if anybody go and mess up after this, it was a Japanese with an Australian head on. They wasn't paying no attention, you know what I'm saying? And so I bless you this morning, or this afternoon, I bless you, and let God, what's that? Let God. Oh, yeah, second requirement, school of ministry and be a part of LTMA. Because and I had that much, I'm glad, son, those two requirements. You got to be a part of LTMA, see, because I impart every month. Now, here's what dynamic about the impartation that I give. I have the proof in my life, in my family, in my ministry, in my finances, etc. All the proof is there. I'm not just saying something I read in the Bible. I'm saying something that manifested in my life out of the Bible for ministry. I don't know no ministry in the world as successful as my ministry. Or more successful. See, because it's not by number. It's not by number. It's about impartation. See, any one of y'all, you've been sitting under me, any one of y'all, I knew you could handle almost any situation. If you paid attention. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? So what I'm saying now, how you say that you don't know no ministry more successful than your ministry? I mean, I got good success. So tell me a success better than good success. I'm not saying nobody else not successful. I want to make sure I'm clear that I know some successful ministry. But no ministry, why did God... And y'all have no understanding, may not have understanding, when I say jet, what kind of jet that I'm flying in? I've had four. I'm the first minister who had a Falcon 900 jet from Dalrow. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. 200 members, I guess, you know what I'm saying? From Dalrow at that time. Why did he do that? Two other ministers bought one after mine. One minister had been talking about letting me have his little, smaller jet when he get his 900. And when I handed him the paper, he said, "You own this jet?" I said, "Yes." My wife said, "God heard him. He gonna give me the smaller jet." It's this person, this private in school, yeah, this private. But then I end up with the jet. I don't know how. I don't know about no jet. I just 900. We walk in with me and my son, my oldest son. We walk in there and we're going to put a bid in on that jet. My oldest son, nothing shake him too much, but he said, "Man, it's a big jet." But I sat on it 4 years before. I didn't know why God had me sit. Dr. Farb took me to the city and took me in, and Shauna, my daughter, and my wife and I went on that jet at 900. And I sat in them big old seats. I ain't talking about no little small. No, I'm talking about, you know, first class. And my daughter went in the restroom to look at it. She come back out and said, "Daddy, that's a large restroom." But I had no idea I was getting previews of where he was going to take me. And all kind of miracles. The people, when I made the offer, the man who, I'm just showing you how God worked when I made the offer on the jet. The man said, "I don't know if you're gonna..." I said, "Your job is to take the offer in. You ain't come tell me what." And then they took the jet off the market. Took it off the market. And so I ain't worth myself. God got to take care of it. And then they called my son and said, "Y'all come and get it?" And took the price that my son offered. Who did that? God did. God did it, you see. So infirmities and inadequacies and inabilities is no problem in ministry. But if you're going in there with abilities and strength and power, you're in major trouble. Okay? All right? All right. I hope I help you some.
Yes, sir.
I hope you know now that I love you and I'm not trying to hold you. How old are you going to preach up me up? See, we had people, Chris is crazy, the best boy. He said this, she said that. So I just follow what the Lord tell me, how the Lord lead me, you know. That's the way I do it, you know. All right, you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. How many of y'all about to start a ministry? Boy, that was a question that come after a meeting like this, huh? Yeah.
I want to do a community outreach ministry. I don't plan on leaving.
All right, community, where you from? Where you? Baton Rouge, you believe the Lord telling you to do that?
Yes, sir, because this has been something I've been interested in doing ever since.
No, I ain't talking about the interested.
Since I was 10.
I ain't talking about the interested.
But it's the way I joined church and everything. It wasn't because they were running a revival. It was because somebody was coercing me to go to church. My mother was a pastor's wife for many years. But
My question is, though, what's your first name again, though?
Angeline.
Angeline?
Yes, sir.
Angeline, right?
Angeline.
Is God calling you to do that? That's a simple question. God, and if you have that, if you have a witness in your heart, a peace in your heart, if God calling you to do that, and then what does that consist of? What are you talking about? I believe you got a good idea. I believe you're sincere. Okay? And you really, to do that, you really don't have to have a calling. It's ministry. See, we're all called to do ministry. So you're right in line. You told her at 10 you wanted to start a church?
No, I told her I wanted to join church.
Join church.
And so she said there was no revival at our church. So she went up the street and she found somebody who was running revival.
But you don't have to have a revival for you to join church.
No.
But that's old school, huh?
That's old school.
I got you. I got you. You ain't got no revival. Okay. I got you.
I'm in my
70s. Yeah, all right. All right. All right. All right.
So,
you in your 70?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you look good, girl. Come on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So when I went to church, I still had the, I think because I was raised by older parents, I thought the same way. I started praying and asking the Lord not to let me get up off the morning bench if I wasn't ready and one thing or another.
So boy, you from the morning bench. Boy, you done called me back, man. The morning bench. My God. That's old school there, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I did get up, see, my God has been dealing with me ever since. Like, I can have a dream and the next day comes
true. Yeah. Yeah, I can.
He told me to do things. I get up and do it. And just
It come to pass.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, you've been working there.
Everything I've been doing is centered around teaching. So evangelist is a teacher. Because I've been ordained to be an evangelist, I never thought about pastoring a church. And I said I would not try to pastor a church unless God tells me to. But I still want to do those outreach things.
Okay. Your mom was a pastor? Your dad was a pastor. Follow your spirit and keep me informed. All right? I believe you're sincere in what you're aiming to do. I believe you're sincere. And again, I'm going to say it, but I'm not trying to make light of it. But what you're doing right now, you don't need a calling for it. It's just part of the mission that God has put on your heart. He may directly call you in the future to do some other thing, but I don't have no problem with what you're doing now. You're helping people, and that's very important, all right? All right. We what time is it? 11:52. Anybody else? Yes, sir. In the military? You about to become a chaplain in the military?
Is there next
sometime next year? Okay, keep me posted about it so we can. You been to school ministry yet?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so you got a concept of the apostolic, and stay in contact with Leroy and Montreal them and let them know what's going on, and they'll let me know what's going on. All right? Now, just like this. This just happened to me. Money coming. The Lord tell me I got to preach some more on it now. No other minister in the world have this type of anointing. And anybody, you heard my son say he's a multi-millionaire. You heard it in camp meeting, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
That's by following me so close. He's one of the biggest givers.
Yes, sir.
Everything, his house paid for. He bought him a new Maserati, paid for it, new RV, paid for it. Just working the principle. And I like the revelation Leroy got this morning.
Yeah.
Dead?
Yeah,
dead. Doing everything but tithing? That ain't gonna die, boy. That's gonna be you. So important. I mean, and so because I have this anointing on me, money comes to you. You connected, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
But the connection has to be with respect. Oh, I know when I'm a close. I know. You find out where it happened at, but I'm about to say something to you. I preach in a city, and they were disrespectful. And I got so not angry, so discouraged with that city. And I was going to get in the car. My middle son was holding me up. I couldn't stand up. I feel it right now. And I was staggering. He's holding me. And I said, throw him on the back seat. He leaned over the back seat. And when I got in the car, the scripture came up that where you go, and they don't accept you, shake the dust from your feet. I stuck my feet out that car. There he is right over there. And shook it. Said, I shake the dust off my feet off to this city. That city was literally destroyed. Literally destroyed. I wouldn't do it just to hurt people, but it needed to be shook up.
That's right, yeah.
Because they had certain little things set up in the city and they run everything. And so God told me to shake the dust off my feet. And then the people who was connected to me would not touch.
Yes.
Because when I thought about it, I said, Lord, the people who connected to me, take care of them. And I can tell you some story to make you so scared you run from the Bible almost. You know, I don't know what I'm called. Because I've seen some things happen. And I tell you right now, I've seen a lot of people die. And I know exactly why they died. Because they violated ministry protocol. Okay? See, in ministry, you got to have a little fear on you.
Yes.
See, I have fear on me, reverential fear. I want to respect it. I'll confess in a minute. And I get my soul cleaned every morning. And then if I go through the day and I feel like something, I get it out. All right? I want you to do the same thing. Be saved and live a long, satisfied life. And whatever God got for you, you're going to get it. Stand up. Let's go. Now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you called this meeting. And these men and women in this room was faithful enough and honorable enough to sit under this anointing. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you give them clarity on whatever you have assigned them to do and open the door for them and let it be done the right way. Your blessing be upon every man, every woman, under the sound of my voice, and that they will reverently handle this meeting. Don't handle it wrong. Because it's from you, and you is your love reaching out to them. And I thank you right now that they're all blessed, and that the lady with the mission and the young man with the chaplain, that you will give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the provision for carry out that mission. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace. Stay in order.